Today is June 13th, 2013. Just to quickly review, we had mentioned yesterday that the Beis Halevi points out that the Paraduma, this week's Parsha, represents both the end of days and Teresh Baal Peh. And in the end of days, as Chazal tell us, we saw the Psukim, that in the end of days will merit the final Geula, the final redemption, only because of our studying and exerting ourselves to learn Teresh Baal Peh, the Oral Torah. And he also points out that by each Churban, by each destruction, and by each exile, whatever it was that caused the exile in the first place is the thing that we need to strengthen in order to rectify the original problem. In the same way, in the first destruction came about through Avodah Zarah, and in the times of Haman, they strengthened themselves not to serve. They sacrificed them. They had great self-sacrifice not to serve Avodah Zarah, so that earned them the merit of being redeemed. In the same way, the end of days, the second Churban came about through Sinas Chinam, senseless, baseless hatred, which he explained came about only through, which is to me with a big chiddush. The way it came about, this strife, came about through people challenging Teresh Baal Peh and living Torah in the way they saw fit, as opposed to the way the Chazal, the tradition is, and that caused tremendous sinna. So in that sense, we'll have to rectify that. Now, it's interesting that according to this interpretation of the Beis Halevi, my observation is here that, well, you say sinas chinam, typically we say, well, there's senseless hatred. Okay, so now both sides have to reconcile, and both sides have to compromise. According to the Beis Halevi, if the whole sinas chinam came about by the other side, the heretics, the people doing the wrong thing, disregarding the tradition and the Messiah and the words of Chazal and their faith in Chazal, what really has to happen is that they have to do tshuva. Kali Yisrael as a whole has to, now I'm sure there's an element here of regular senseless hatred that everybody has to work on, but the way he's interpreting it as far as the vis-a-vis the Parah Aduma is that we have to strengthen, everybody together has to strengthen our resolve and our involvement in Teresh Baal Peh. Now, he points out that, this is something we mentioned yesterday as well, therefore we have a parallel. Pesach came about through, Pesach caused the Geula Rishayna. The mitzvah of Pesach caused the redemption and the initial redemption by Pesach, and the Paraduma will cause the redemption at the end of day. So we have this parallel. Now we see where Paraduma fits into the piece, and we see where Pesach fits into the puzzle, and we can see how Pesach is sort of secondary to the final Geula, because it's not the final redemption. It's only one redemption along the way, and I'll explain this a little more explicitly. In Haggadah Shal Pesach, I don't know how far we got into this yesterday, but in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, we mention that Ilo HaKadosh Baruch, I'm in the third paragraph, it starts with V'hinei B'Haggadah. I don't think we did this yesterday, correct? Third paragraph here, on page 26. In the Haggadah, it says, Ilo Lo Yaitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esaveseinu Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have taken us out of Mitzrayim. Harei Onu V'neinu V'nei V'neinu Mishubadu V'inu L'Farim Mitzrayim. We would still be subservient to Paro. So Chazal tell us, Kfar Yaduim Beforsim, the explanation is that if we would have waited even a drop more, we would have remained there forever. We wouldn't have been able to be redeemed. Why is that? Arizal says this and many others. Arizal tells us that we were in the 49th level of Tumah and we wouldn't have been able to get out of it, and so on. Now the Rebbeinu Shlomo was Miher Esaketz. He was Mimaher Esaketz. He hastened the end. Correct? So now, it was a very good thing. Now, we mentioned this back when we talked about matzah. You remember? We talked about matzah symbolizing the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom hastened the Geula. Now, in a sense, it was a very good thing because we were at the point that if we would have fallen any lower, we would never have been able to get out. So we were saved in that sense, but it was only a temporary measure. So he says, Al yedei zeh, yiyu yecheilem lihigoyel gam begu'ul asida. Through the redemption of Pesach, we will then, it was a step towards the final redemption, kivishin ishtarshu b'kedushas ha-teira. Through the redemption of Pesach, we got out of Mitzrayim, we just narrowly missed falling into the 50th level. We got out, we pulled ourselves out, and in fact we went up to very, very great heights, and we received the Torah. And that Torah, so how did we receive the Torah? Only through the merit of Pesach. We got out of Mitzrayim, we got the Torah. And it's that very Torah that will help us eventually have the Geula Asida. So Nimtza de Pesach Gorem Lanu Gama Geula Asida. It has a place in the final redemption, but again, only one piece of it. Now he says like this. He's going to explain that many of the Mefarshim say this, that the fact that the Rebbe Yisrael had to be Memayar Sakeit, it means he didn't finish the job. We were really supposed to be purified from all our impurities for 400 years. Hashem had to hasten the Geula. In a sense, we fulfilled our measure of servitude because the Rebbe Yisrael made it more difficult for us to work, etc. But at the same time, Chazal do tell us that had we not fallen to such a level, and had we merited to purify ourselves entirely from Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim, we wouldn't have had a need for subsequent exiles. We would have been able to go straight to the finish line, and to Yemais HaMashiach. But since it wasn't finished entirely, right, so in a sense it was a great service to the Jewish people, because we would have lost out entirely. We would have lost forever the opportunity to have a chance at the finish line. At the same time, if we would have been able to withstand it, it's like in medicine. Sometimes they have to administer a particular medicine, but it takes a lot of keiches. It takes a lot of strength out of the body. So sometimes they could give the very strong medicine, but only up until a point. If they give it too much, the person will die. They give that medicine up to a point, it will destroy the illness that the person is suffering from, but only to a certain degree. Okay, that now saves them temporarily. They regain their strength. They're able to administer it again until they can totally remove it. But if it's not entirely finished the first time, it obviously makes sense to stop, let the person regain his strength, but being that it wasn't done to the nth degree, is still necessary for further treatment. So we were in Mitzrayim, we really needed further treatment, but we wouldn't have been able to withstand it. And so, it was a great chesed of Hashem to be able to take us out. So he says like this, Kvar Nisbar, right after the few dots here, Kvar Nisbar, in the fourth line down in this third paragraph, it's already been explained, Ha-Ge'ula b'Mitzrayim ha-yateich ha-zman, it was within the time. It wasn't yet the time. In other words, we hadn't fulfilled our quota of purifying ourselves, but we couldn't stay there. Therefore, when the redemption did come in Mitzrayim, who rak hayetziyim in Mitzrayim? If you think about it for a moment, we really needed to be in Mitzrayim to purify ourselves totally, to rid ourselves totally of the Tumah. But we couldn't withstand it. So when we left Mitzrayim, was it that we therefore will merit the final Geula and be in Eretz Yisrael and Yemais HaMashiach forever? No. We're temporarily being taken out of the Golus, out of the exile, so that we could regain our strength, rejuvenate, no pun intended, and then be able to withstand further golos to fully purify ourselves so that we could go into the final redemption. So he says like this, Memela Nimshach, the main purpose of this exodus was to leave Mitzrayim, and just temporarily we were able to go into Eretz Yisrael. Aval ha'aliyah l'Eretz Yisrael, the ultimate going up to Eretz Yisrael, hara'ena ikaris. Actually, he's saying the going up to Eretz Yisrael at this point wasn't going to be permanent. And therefore, the main purpose of this geula, of this redemption, was to get out of Mitzrayim. So, but it wouldn't be a permanent going up to Eretz Yisrael. Kivan dahayutzrichem liyais oid bagayla. Since they will again need to go back into exile. Avol geula ha'asida, but the final geula, she is saif kol ha'golos, the final geula, final redemption, which should come speedily in our days, that will spell the end of all exiles. So you shnei amatachas anirtzabahem. When it comes to that final geula, we're going to have two purposes. Number one, to remove us from the exile. Number two, to bring us up to Eretz Yisrael. V'zeu she'achar asher amar ha'kosov v'lo yoyimru chai Hashem asher helas b'nei Yisrael mitzrayim. They won't say, we swear by Hashem that the Rebbeinu Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim, because the Mitzrayim ha'yo yisoy raka ha'lo v'yitzia mimeno. At the end of days, it's not going to be like Yitzias Mitzrayim in the sense that we're just, the main purpose is to be removed from Mitzrayim. Rak yoyimru chai Hashem asher hela Pasher Havi Azari Yisrael Karatzai Vyeshua Admasam. The main purpose will be to bring us permanently into Eretz Yisrael. So in Mitzrayim, the purpose of the redemption was to remove us from Mitzrayim. Of course, along the way we also ended up going into Eretz Yisrael, but that wasn't permanent. And in the final redemption, it will be to actually bring us into Eretz Yisrael itself. What's that?
In other words, after we left Mitzrayim, right? We were going to go into Eretz Yisrael, but that was not going to be the final geula.
Correct. Because we didn't finish off. Oh, so you want to know why by Matan Torah, we know...
I was thinking about the eagle.
Yes. So, it could be that this is in retrospect. It could be that the Rebbeinu Shlom knew at the time that it wasn't going to last, that they weren't able to withstand it, and it could be we only served the eagle because we never totally purified ourselves.
Another question arises, why did they have to go to Eretz Yisrael at all? Why could we not have stayed in the Midbar or Mitzel temporarily in some other country before meriting the ground?
So the answer, I think, to that is we find very, very often that the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us something to taste. This is what you could have if you... Right, an example, a common example is the Rebbeinu Shalom teaches us the whole Torah in the mother's womb. Well, so, but then you forget it. What's the point? Ever thought about that? What's the point? So there's many answers given. Drush Saran says that the Torah really essentially should not be able to, we shouldn't be able to really grasp Torah. As partially physical beings, we shouldn't be able to grasp Torah. But the Hashem gives us a gift that we learn it once in the mother's womb so that we could then, to relearn it a second time, that we could do. Okay. But other commentators say that this is very common, that the Rebbeinu Shalom gives us a certain gift. Very often he'll give us the ultimate, or not the ultimate, but he'll give us a taste of what it really could be like. Then he'll take it away, and we have to work towards earning it. Okay, so the same as the Torah being given to us in the mother's womb, we see this pattern in many different places. In other places, for instance, marriage. There's a whole simcha with a marriage. We go to the chasana, we're mesameach, and it's tremendous joy. And then we make a party every night. But theoretically, you could make a party through the Sheva Brachas, the week of the, right? And then, back to real life. What happens? Ask anybody who, after they first get married, sometimes after a week, sometimes after a day, sometimes after a month, sometimes after a year, the initial excitement wears off. Well, why did Hashem make it that way? Because in any situation that's challenging, you have to work towards something. The purpose is to work towards it. You get it as it. But if you would never have a taste of how good it really is, initially, then you wouldn't be able to invest the energy. You wouldn't have a goal in mind. You wouldn't be able to sense that you can reach the goal. It would be much, much more difficult, if not impossible, for you to work towards it. Yes?
I can follow that reasoning. In the marriage example, what that was like, you want to But I've always troubled the notion that you learn all the Torah before you're born, and you remember none of that experience. So it's a different, I mean, it's not as if you've had something, you remember it, and you really want that again. You might have had it, but you don't remember it. So how is that a motivation?
So you're comparing the mnemonic aspect of this. The it's not necessarily that you in your conscious state remember the Torah, but that somewhere, and I call it the subconscious, or you can call it your neshama had already been acclimated to or exposed to this. It would be the same as an inoculation, right? You're not consciously aware of. You could have gotten it as a child. You don't remember it on this. But it's a different kind of system, right? Your immune system. So it's something that you don't necessarily have to be aware of in order to. Yes.
My question. So I guess you could also say that since many of the mitzvahs of Torah, sort of 100, are as clear as Baruch, have to do with Eretz Yisrael, it would make much more sense even to settle us even temporarily in Eretz Yisrael.
Excellent. I'll give you one more example of this. We find that people, even at a very young age, sometimes are capable. If they exert themselves, they'll learn. What we call it in the yeshiva speak, we say they're mechaven to a ktsais, they're mechaven to a Reb Chaim, they'll anticipate something that one of the great Torah giants has said in order to answer a question. Well, how does this 12-year-old kid get? Why is he? Hey, work on yourself. Look, the Ktsais, he worked for who knows, tens of years. Well, I mean, just a 12-year-old kid, just like that. The answer is, it's a way for the child to have a taste of what the Torah is. Hashem says, here, this is what you can have if you work hard. Roll up your sleeves and schmitz, and you'll be able to get to this. Now get to work. You find this in many, many, many different situations. And this is no different. That it's very possible that Rebbeinu Shem gave us a taste, a more tangible taste. Maybe that's why he put Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden. Could be that the Jewish people as a whole needed that. As a nation, we needed a taste of that. So when we got the Torah, we were in that state, similar to Adam HaRishon before the Chait, before the sin, and so on. And the same is with Eretz Yisrael. He brings us into Eretz Yisrael. So we have a taste of what the land is all about, with the Kedusha and so on. Not in the ultimate state, but certainly in a very, very intensely holy state. And so that when we lose it, and we're in a dreadful gullus, and there's nothing more dreadful than where we are today. I mean, it's depressing when you think about it. It's 2,000 years old, more. And we're not, but if we, being that in our genes, in our DNA, we had once an experience where the Jewish people lived in Eretz Yisrael, not just lived in Eretz Yisrael, we lived in Eretz Yisrael with the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. And all the great Torah giants and the Nevi'im were walking around in the streets. You have a taste of that, even though you yourself may not have, but your neshama has had. Now you know what to yearn for. Now you have a connection to that. Now you're able to get to that. Okay, so we're going to start now. We're halfway down the page. Hada Messiah my Medrash Kol Benecha Lo Yochel Bay. Okay, we're getting back to that medrash originally that we said. The medrash ba'litin lanu tam al mitzvah zu. The medrash is giving us a reason for this. The pasuk zeh ba azhara to kol mishin esnakru ma'isav lavav shemashemayim also le'echol pesach. By the pesach we have this unusual mitzvah. That somebody who is foreign, strange, his actions are not. We don't find this by any other mitzvah. That's what it'll say. L'chayra ain't a muva natam. We can't understand the reason for this. The mitzvah zu mishunah mikol mitzvah shabbatayra. This mitzvah of Karban Pesach is unusual. It's different than all the mitzvahs. Why? The bechol atayra kaimelon, by every other mitzvah we say, afal pi shechata, even though the person may have sinned, Yisrael, he still has the name, he still has the label Yisrael. You never say to a person, because you did this Avera, forget it, throw in the towel. You know, I once had, years ago, was a very unusual experience. Someone came to me, and he asked me, one of my Talmidim, one of my students, and he asked me the following question. He said, you know, he was just becoming religious. He says, you know, I really decided I want to start going to the mikveh every Friday. Beautiful. So, okay, what's the issue? He says, you know, there are other areas in my life that I'm not conforming to the Torah. So I feel like since I'm not pure, since I'm not tahor, I'm not holy, so I'm afraid that when I go to the mikveh, I'm going to ruin it for everybody else. So should I refrain from going to the mikveh because I'm not ideal in other areas? That was his question. Now, I knew that there's no such halacha where a person has to be entirely, you know, upstanding, keeping all the halachas before he goes to the mikveh, because if that was true, then no one would go to the mikveh. But that's a different story. But I thought to myself, wow, this is an interesting opportunity. Here you have somebody who's not yet religious. He wants to do this mitzvah, this minhag, or wonderful thing of going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. And he recognizes that there's somewhat of a contradiction to some of his other actions. So maybe I should leverage this opportunity to prod him to shape up more quickly. So I wasn't sure what to do. I wasn't sure if it was somewhat deceptive or it was misrepresenting it. So I called up a Rebbe of mine and I presented this scenario to him. And he said to me a fascinating thing. He said, don't you dare ever tell someone that because they don't do mitzvah A, they should refrain from doing mitzvah B. He said, you know why? Because if you do, then you will be the biggest hypocrite in the world. There's no such thing as anybody who doesn't do an avera. It's tzadik b'aretz, yeah? You're going to tell somebody don't go to the mikveh because he's not in tip-top shape elsewhere? So what about you? How come you put on tefillin even though, you know, you don't spend your time every second of your day in the way you're supposed? Everybody has contradictions. That should never hinder you from doing the right thing today. So by other mitzvahs, that he's pointing out, by other mitzvahs, we don't ever say, you're nisnakru ma'isav, you're estranged from Hashem, you're acting in a foreign way to the Torah, you can't partake in this mitzvah. Do we ever say such a thing? Don't put on tzitzis because you're mechallel Shabbos. We ever tell that to a person? This Rebbe of mine told me, he says, tell the fellow that he should go to the mikveh. And when he goes to the mikveh, he should daven to Hashem that purity that he gets from the mikveh should give him the strength to withstand the temptations, other averes. It's a beautiful thought. So that's what we usually say. So why here by Karban Pesach do we say, Kol b'necha l'yecha b'y, which we say doesn't just mean a non-Jew, it means somebody whose actions are not in line with the Torah. And it's a question, a discussion amongst the Paiskim, if it's really only something equivalent to Avodah Zarah, something colossally... you know, a colossal infringement of the Torah, or just even one avera that he repeatedly does. But whatever the case may be, why do we ever do such a thing? Why is here any different?
So
okay, and he says, what's that? Yeah, whoever falls into that category. I don't want to get into the very finer details of Nisnakru Maisa, maybe we'll speak a little bit about it later, a little more clear, but basically it means somebody who repeatedly does an Avera, or according to others, let's say the Rambam says if he does Avodah Zarah. Okay? So we don't tell somebody who's doing Avodah Zarah, don't put on tzitzis. Yeah? So he says, by all of the mitzvahs, we say, Avo bishachata Yisrael, v'chayim b'chom mitzvah v'teiru, u'levad me'avos karban, darshinu v'sech l'schulim, mikam v'lei kulchem, except for bringing of a karban, aval shari mitzvahs, by other mitzvahs that don't have to do with bringing a karban, he's chayiv too. Okay, so just by karbanis, a person has to be in shape. But achilas pesach, which is also... is not really hakrav, it's not really bringing it forth, even though there's blood sprinkled and so on, but it's not a true, full-fledged carbon. And yet still we find. So again, if a person, for carbon purposes, for offering purposes in the Beis HaMikdash, a person has to be on a certain level that we understand. But regular mitzvahs, and Pesach should be included in that, we don't have such a thing. Except that the one exception is Pesach itself, where we say, Kol b'necha l'yechabay. And then he says, Af agav shebetchilo hayu Yisrael. Even though initially he was with Klal Yisrael. Gam hu nigal mi Mitzrayim. He was even redeemed from Mitzrayim. But because he's Necher today, we don't have him eat from the Pesach. So he says like this, Rak achar shehizbira medrash, the chukas para gedayla mi Pesach, after the medrash explained, that para aduma is greater than the mitzvah of Pesach, v'shel para hi ha'ikr, but yet para aduma is the main one, v'hi garmer l'shel Pesach, u'mishamachi ben Necher, de'ein lo'y chelek b'gu'ula asida. Here's the key, ready? A ben Echar, somebody who, let's take the more stringent opinion, Avodah Zarah. Somebody who engages in Avodah Zarah or is foreign or strange to the Torah, he will not have a chelek b'geula asida. He won't have a portion in the final geula. Even agam d'haya b'chol nigalim oz. Even though initially in Mitzrayim he was part of the ones who were redeemed. Since you do not have a portion in the main part, that which sprouted from the main, so basically what he's saying is the following, that Para Aduma is the ultimate, is the final Geula. A person who's Nisnaker Maisav and eventually will not be part of the final Geula, so he cannot have a portion in the mitzvah that is an offshoot, a portion of the ultimate. Pesach is only a portion of the ultimate, which is Parah Aduma, as we explained the parallel. U'mishumachi amar hakasuv kol b'necha l'yechal bay. And he says, "V'gamla hepech amar hakasuv." Even the opposite the Torah does say, "V'chi yogar yitcha ger." Which means a person who initially was not there by Gulas Mitzrayim. He wasn't a part of Klal Yisrael. But today his actions are in line with the Torah. He converted and he is in line with the Torah. So he could partake in the Pesach. Why? Because he'll be there for the final redemption. Even though he wasn't from the redeemed from Mitzrayim at all. Since he'll have a portion in the final redemption, and that is the future. What the Beis HaLevi is conveying to us is that Karban Pesach is microcosm. It's a smaller version of Paraduma. It's in line with Paraduma. Paraduma will be the Iker, the final. Pesach is one step in the process towards the final redemption. But being that it is only a step in the process of achieving the final redemption, someone that will not have a portion in the final redemption should not have a portion in Karban Pesach. So the nature of this mitzvah, of Karban Pesach, that it is a cog, it's a very important piece in this process. But it is a piece, a small part of a larger process. Being that the nature of it is that the larger process is something for which a person's actions, in order to partake in it, a person's actions have to be in line with the Torah. So an unusual mitzvah, that is not necessarily so. We don't say necessarily that the mitzvah of putting on tefillin is not, we don't view it as one of the big, maybe a minor detail, but we don't view it as a significant stepping stone towards the final geula. Of course, every mitzvah you do, etc. But you don't say somebody who's not going to be there for the final geula, they shouldn't put on tzitzis or tefillin today. We don't say such a thing. But Pesach is very different. So therefore, he says, beautiful. The last paragraph. It's a long paragraph, but that's what he says. We'll try to finish this now. He says that's why we could explain. Therefore, where it says in the Haggadah, "V'igadata l'bincha b'yom ahu leimar." Bavur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. This is this portion of the Beis HaLevi, by the way. We've gone through a very long Beis HaLevi. We talked about Paradum, we talked about Pesach, and so on. The next piece in the Beis HaLevi is a very famous piece. Maybe not, the other part is not as famous, but this piece is, and you'll see how one segues into the other. Okay, so he says, that we could explain what it says in the Pasuk. It says, because of this, Hashem did this to me when we left Mitzrayim. By the way, you know that there's different explanations as to Bavur Ze'os Hashem Li. There's two explanations in the Rishonim. One is that Hashem did, the child is asking his father, what is this Avaida? Right? And you say, because of this, means in the merit of this, we were saved. Or in order for us to do this, we were saved. It's a whole discussion, it's all right, not for right now. But Rashi says on that pasuk, "Kan remes tshuva leben harasha." It's a fascinating thing. You know what it says in the Haggadah? What does it say about the Rasha in the Haggadah? You know what it says? When the Torah talks about the Rasha, it gives a different response. You ever notice that, Neil? What does it say in the Haggadah about the Ben Rasha? It says, "V'amartem zevach Pesach hul Hashem." What does it say? Do we have a Pesach? What's that? What does it say? No, in the Torah it says "V'amartem." What does it say by the? We have a Pesach machzer here. Sukkos. Yom Kippur. Okay, I don't have it here. All right, so we'll save this for next time, Ezra Shem. Okay.